Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I did do my research, you know, of course, being in that situation of trying to pick a team, see where, you know, because I've already was on two, you know, want to make sure that everybody wants to find a home, you know, and, but I did, and watching the film from last year, you could see that, you know, the guys were making big plays and so many people at that, doing that, you know, you would see all different guys catching the ball, you know what I'm saying, all different guys running the ball and doing well at it. It wouldn't just be Cook, you know what I'm saying, the other two back there going crazy. You know, so just seeing that, I think, makes anybody excited, knowing that you'll have a chance and an opportunity to show it and then to help and to impact. At the end of the day, when we leave the games and we talking with our brothers about, oh, remember that play, remember this play and how good that was, or even things that we got to learn from, I think is one of the best parts.
Elijah Moore on One Bills Live talking about how the Bills spread around. Worth noting right now, on carries for running backs, Cook 34, Ray Davis 10. Ty Johnson 4.
Is that probably close to in line with what last year was?
Cook got three times as many as the next. You might be right.
You might be right. It's a little more than
they might have just leaned on him. And, you know, we're two games in, so we'll see how things kind of balance out. And you know, if somebody misses a game, does somebody catch up? Does Ray Davis had the game against the Jets last year where he got the most of the game.
Last year it was 207 for Cook, 113 for Davis.
Okay, so that's definitely not what it is right now. But again, two games in. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, and the Herd Mentality Substack, his All-22 goes out each week. Great, great information, great stuff, great asset. Joe joins us here on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills Dolphins. Joe, good morning. Good to have you on again. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Short week, everything smushed together, but we're getting it done.
Yeah. Let's quickly review the Jet game, and maybe we focus on a couple individuals here. James Cook, of course, had a huge day, but I'll ask you about Joey Bosa, who, you know, going into the game, I know you had predicted that maybe Bosa would have a big day. He flashed against the Ravens, showed some ability to win from the edge, and now he has another big day and another forced fumble. And I wonder, you know, if you're thinking about projecting him for the year, how much better this could get, how much of a game wrecker he could be, or is he just a kind of a cog on an improved defensive line? So what do you make of Bosa two games in, and where could it get to?
Yeah, I'm really excited about where Bosa's at, and I thought he really turned it on late last season. You could tell he was healthy and looked like the vintage Joey Bosa, and I think he's really kind of carry that over into the early season here in Buffalo, and he's on his game. You know, he's obviously a very talented football player. It's a top five NFL draft pick that's had a lot of production in the NFL. It's really just been about injuries. But you saw him get healthy late last year. He's actually said that's where he started to feel got his best, and then he's been healthy to start this season, and you just see him getting off the ball with a lot of quickness and a lot of confidence. He's powerful. His rush moves are well-timed. And you've heard him recently talk about just the fit in Buffalo, whether it's, you know, the actual defense and getting back to playing hand in the dirt 4-3 defensive end, where, you know, for the Chargers, he really played 3-4 outside linebacker and was in a 2-point stance. And you heard him in his press conference a couple days ago talk about just, and he's in a 2-point stance. He never felt like his feet were right, and he's trying to get it in the right position, and it takes away from his get off. But when he's in a 3-point, he can really get off the ball, and he's playing more tighter alignments, right, which gets him closer to the action, which he really likes. And so, like, that fit in the defense is something that Bosa is obviously excited about. But I just also think there's a mental side and a human side to Joey Bosa, and I'm not going to slander the Chargers. I don't think that's necessary. But you could tell that he's reinvigorated with his trip to Buffalo. And, you know, a guy that getting back to that college atmosphere that he played at Ohio State, you know, obviously what Bills Mafia and that environment's like. But, you know, getting away, right, something new, a new challenge, refocus, resetting. He's talking about his fiance and how, you know, she's enjoying the area, and they're talking about watching the ducks in their backyard. And, you know, all these things matter. He's talking about, you know, he's never been so connected to his teammates. He's never been so happy after a win. The guy has some new energy about him. So you get this really talented football player in a new spot. He's healthy. He's on his game. He's playing in the type of scheme that unlocks more of who he is. He even said in his press conference this week, he's like, my body type is just so much better for what they're asking me to do here in Buffalo. So it's a really nice situation. I think you're seeing just kind of the tip of the iceberg of what he can do. And where I get excited is how this defense continues to improve and what that means for a guy like Joey Bosa, whether it's some of the reinforcements that are going to come, whether it's just this defense settling into a new style, and it's very much a new style. You're seeing three linebackers, you're seeing heavy boxes, you're seeing blitzing, you're seeing man coverage. There's a lot of new on this defense, and as it continues to settle into what it needs to be, I think you'll see more and more playmaking from Bosa. So great start, stay healthy, and I think the best is still yet to come.
Quickly on Bosa, a little more on when you say body type, how the Bills are asking him to do things a little differently than the Chargers might have.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really comes down to he's playing hand in the dirt 4-3 defensive end with the Bills. And, you know, Bosa is 6'5", 280. You know, you talk about outside linebackers in a 3-4. Those are 6'4", 240, you know, super, like, lean and bendy guys. And, you know, Bosa's a pretty complete player, but he's a power player at his core. And for him to be able to be in tighter alignments, right? Not as much stand up outside of tight ends. He's playing more in a 6-eye, which is, you know, kind of inside of that tight end, you know, puts him tighter, right? It reduces those angles for him based on alignment. So it's more tailored for what his skill set is. And you could tell he's excited about it based on what he said this past week.
The second and third level of the defensive performance, Joe, they stopped the run, they stopped the pass. You saw the corners get in even on run stops in the backfield. It felt like even behind Bosa and the D-line that everyone behind them had a great game too.
Yeah, it was a really cohesive defensive performance. I thought Bobby Babbage simplified some things and just they played a lot better. And I think a lot of that is who they played, right? The Jets are not a team that you look at offensively and think much of their talent. You know, when you talk about weapons, it's Garrett Wilson. That's about it. You've got Justin Fields, who, you know, he's on his third team after being a high first round pick for a reason, right? He's got his own limitations. It's game two of this entire system, right? And you get ahead by 10, by two scores, really, with 10 minutes into the game. And that puts the Jets into a style of game that they don't want to play, right? So I think there was a lot of game script and talent issues that helped the Bills play better. But I think that's important. Like, you want this team to start to find some confidence defensively to buy into what they're being asked to do. And so, yeah, I think you certainly are mindful of the context of the game, but you want to build some momentum. It's kind of been the conversation is you had a bad matchup against Baltimore in week one. Then you kind of have this opportunity to find your stride and the schedule softens up a little bit. And, you know, so far the Bills are taking advantage of that, and I like where it's headed.
The matchup with Miami, you know, we can sometimes talk about Baltimore as a bad matchup, maybe in large part because Baltimore is good at what they do, not just because of what they do. For Miami, it's an offense that has had some success in the McDaniel era and the Tua Tagovailoa era, but the matchup against the Bills seems like it's never really been that good for them. What is it about the Bills that they're able to do with Tua and a Mike McDaniel offense that leads them to consistently beat them?
Well, I hate to just go with the game script route, but I think it's really important. You know, the Dolphins and a lot of the teams in the AFC East, they're very game script dependent, right? The games have to go a certain way for them to be successful. And, you know, Tua's a limited quarterback. But when he can play in rhythm, right, which is a lot of their scheme throws and first read, get the ball out, he's got a quick release, he's accurate on short throws, he makes, you know, he's a good anticipatory player. You know, he can operate in that rhythm. You know, he can be really effective. And then, you know, it's also what they can do to complement their run game, right? It's a potent run game. But the problem is they can never stay in a game script that allows them to play the style they want to against the Bills in particular. A lot of times, you know, whether it's their defense giving up points early and now all of a sudden they're in a deficit and they can't play the style of offense, or, you know, Mike McDaniel, I think he's got his own major game management issues where he chases it so bad, right? Like he has no patience whatsoever. If he senses that, you know, there's some leakage going on and they're going to have to come back and score some points, like he searches and chases it, and it takes it out of like the rhythm of what they need to do. So I think it's game script. I think it's how Mike McDaniel fails to stay patient with how he plays games. And then, you know, just the limitations that Tua has are, I think, exacerbated whenever you are in these type of game scripts where you're chasing points and you're trying to go blow for Josh Allen. And so I think it's a bad matchup for Miami in terms of style of play. And with how good Josh is at scoring points and the stress that puts on that offense, I just don't think they're able to play their style of game, and the Bills tend to pour it on.
Would you expect any different wrinkles from Miami offensively, Joe? Like, when you look back at their matchups with the Bills, how different do they look in what they're trying to do game to game against the Bills, who have mostly had pretty good success defensively against them? There was the game last year where it comes down to a 60-yard field goal where they weren't terrible, but the Bills have mostly had the answers for Mike McDaniel.
Well, I think that might be the problem with Miami, is there's too many wrinkles. You know, this is I listened to Joe Brady. He said something this week that really spoke to me. He said, "I don't believe in eye candy." He says, "I believe in everything being intentional." And I don't think Mike McDaniel agrees with him, and I think that's probably an issue. And I think Mike McDaniel's answer has always been to throw wrinkles at things instead of just being good at what you do. And, I mean, I just look at this coaching staff. They have Mike McDaniel's a head coach and play caller. They have an offensive coordinator. They have a passing game coordinator. They have a senior passing game coordinator. They have a run game coordinator. It's like, how many cooks do you need in the kitchen for an offense that's in year four under Mike McDaniel that can't get out of its own way when it comes to procedural issues and having the right amount of players in the huddle and getting play calls in on time and motion being timed up correctly to not get delayed game penalties or not going forward at the snap? It's like embarrassing how many issues this team just has procedural. And so I think there's a simplification that needs to happen with Miami. And that was the whole appeal, is like, you continue with continuity. You know, you don't have Jonnu Smith, but you have Tua and Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and Achane, and your center's back. Like, there's some good continuity in some spots here for Miami. And you feel like you're watching a team that's in their first year of the system. And so
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think there's a simplification more than wrinkles needed for Miami to have a better chance of being consistent with their offense.
Joe Marino joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills-Dolphins as the Bills look to continue their domination of this team. You know, Joe, looking around the league, I kind of want to get your thoughts on some other contenders. We've spent so much time on the Chiefs over the years, and of course the Ravens have entered that mix as well. And the Bills' pursuit of the one seed, here we are 2 weeks in, and it looks like things are setting up very nicely. There could be a couple other wrinkles, one of which is the Chargers. And I want to know if you believe in them and what they're doing right now. 2-0, and doing it in a way that they don't normally do it. They're throwing the ball a lot, and a lot more than any other team. So how about a matchup there? Like, if a hypothetical Bills-Chargers matchup, what do you like about the Chargers? How real are they, and what would that matchup look like, do you think?
Yeah, I give the Chargers a lot of credit. I think you make a good point there, where their style is just different than what you expected, where they're throwing the ball a ton. And, I mean, just nobody likes to hype up their players more than Harbaugh, right? And he's calling Derwin James the greatest safety he's ever seen. I'm sure you've seen some of his quotes on Herbert. Like, I mean, boy, wants this guy to marry his daughter, it sounds like, you know? And so you forget that Herbert passed for 5,000 yards in his second season, right? Like, he's a guy that's capable of being a high volume passer. You know, I think that the goofy coaching of Brandon Staley, you know, really, really kind of took away from his development and you know, like the overall effectiveness and success of what that team should have been with a quarterback like Herbert. So I buy in on Herbert. I've watched Herbert plenty of times and think, boy, that guy's one of those different ones, right? That can be a catalyst, a reason why you win games. He's unbelievably gifted. And, you know, the receivers have really come on, right? McConkey's a dude, and Quentin Johnson has really emerged, and Keenan Allen, like, he's at home with the Chargers. He's a meaningful piece of what they could do. And you kind of think about Greg Roman and Harbaugh, and you think about running the ball, right? They got a first-round running back in Omarion Hampton and a good offensive line, but that really hasn't been effective for them at all. It's been throwing the ball. And I'm sure that gives them more and more confidence to be this type of team. And really, you know, when Herbert got back from injury last year, their pass rate over expectation was skyrocketing, right? Like number one, and it continues to be number one. So I like where their offense is at. I think their run game will get better. Defensively is kind of where I have some questions. You know, obviously, I think they've played the Chiefs. Like, let's be honest, spent 2.5 years of like average offense, and then the Raiders. And I just don't think that's a real operation quite yet with all the new parts of their offense. So, you know, they were really good defensively to start last year, and then, you know, I think that got exposed later on. And I have questions about their talent. Like, I don't know about their D-line talent. I don't know about their corner talent. I don't know if they have another linebacker to go with Dion Henley. So I think they have some questions to answer there. But, you know, year two in their scheme defensively with some new pieces, you know, I'm sure they'll want to hit their stride. But, yeah, I take the Chargers seriously. I really do. And I'm sure they have a lot of confidence in who they are and, you know, the style of football they're playing lately.
Khalil Mack with that injury could hurt, too, depending on what happens there. Do you, after seeing the Chiefs through 2 weeks, do you think they're going to have a tough time tracking the Chargers down 2 games back already?
Yeah, I do. You know, the Chiefs have had the 15th scoring offense each of the last 2 years, right? They don't run the ball well. They don't have an explosive element to their passing game. Mahomes off script is still really good, you know, and he can make things happen. He could be a magician, but they're not supporting him with a run game, right? And I mean, we're watching the NFL, right? Everyone's watching the NFL. Like, you got to be able to run the ball. They can't do it. He's been their leading rusher the last 2 games, and that's not really going to work. And, I mean, maybe the receivers will all come back healthy and it'll take off where it needs to go. But the sample size is growing here of a lackluster passing offense that doesn't score a ton of points and can't run the ball. And now you got a pass rush that's not showing up defensively. You know, that's going to put a lot of stress on a defense that wants to run man coverage and blitz. You know, and you know, I think they're a little undermanned with their pass rush right now, and they got some questions offensively. And you know, I think there's some tension, right? I mean, we're watching the Chiefs, right? It's Travis Kelce, you know, getting mad at the offensive line, and Travis Kelce gives the ball to the Eagles, and you know, he's making mistakes, and you got Drew Tranquil and Chris Jones, you know, at odds with each other. Chris Jones freelances, goes inside, loses the game. There's some things going on, right?
Yeah.
I'll be the last guy on planet Earth to rule out the Chiefs, but you're lying to yourself if you don't see some issues right now.
Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast joining us here. Joe, back to the Bills before I let you go. You know, the everybody eats scenario, it's working. We heard from Elijah Moore there at the top of the segment. And I wonder what your thoughts are on two players, guys that we would think would be a big part of this that, you know, they have to different degrees here. First, Dalton Kincaid. You know, I know you've been bullish on him as a big feature of this offense, and when the other pieces line up for him, whether that's Allen being better for Kincaid or them putting him in better spots, if you think that's all still coming. And then also on Shakir, who when he caught his pass against the Jets, I thought like, oh, that's right, Khalil Shakir. Like, are you seeing maybe the high ankle sprain? Does he look on film to be a little bit like he's kind of still working through it coming back? So on Kincaid and Shakir as the season moves on from here.
Well, Shakir on that catch and run for a first down, it looked like that ankle looked pretty good to me, right? He was the yards after catch guy that we love in Khalil Shakir. I think with Shakir in particular, I think that's where I get excited about how the offense can improve, right? You expect a bigger role from Khalil Shakir, and boy, you know, he's a skilled player. And obviously, I think there's more production for him to be had in this offense. I think that's definitely going to come. And as for Kincaid, man, the tight ends are just a big part of this equation, right? We kind of talked about it for years, but this trio, they're playing them all. These guys are playing a ton of snaps, and they're critical for the foundation of the run scheme. But then, you know, they're getting some opportunities to catch a ball a little bit as well. And so, you know, obviously Kincaid's the most talented receiving threat. I think we were reminded of some of the variants that can exist when you throw the ball to Dawson Knox. Hawes is certainly, you know, his two targets. He looks pretty good on both of those catches, but you know, really the guy that could be the difference maker is Kincaid. And I think he's off to a good start. I wonder if the volume will ever be there for any one player, you know, that's not Josh Allen or James Cook in this offense. But it's about opportunities and what guys do with them. And it feels like that's been a good story to tell so far for Kincaid.
Yeah. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. We'll chat again next week. Joe, thanks for the time, of course, and enjoy the game tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Joe Marino. Find him where you get your podcast, Locked On Bills, and, of course, thejoemarino.com for all the stuff he does, the herd mentality, where he posts the All-22 video, bunch of stuff from Joe, always top-notch.
Here's something funny on the Dolphins. On August 31st, they tweeted out and posted on YouTube, Under the Sun, episode one of our new behind-the-scenes show that'll be on Tuesdays on YouTube. They tweeted that out on August 31st. They have not posted another episode since then.
Hmm.
2 weeks later.
Hmm.
Dolphins fans yelling, where is it? Where's the behind-the-scenes show? Did they just think people would forget about it? And like, yeah, maybe we don't do this after the fact. Because we got smoked by the Colts.
Right,
do we really want to show everybody the behind-the-scenes of that?
Behind the scenes, yeah.
And then we lost to the Patriots.
Interesting.
Just not do it. Let's just not do it and see if anybody picks up on it.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-552-550.
It's also Patrick Mahomes' 30th birthday today.
Old!
And it's Alex Ovechkin's 40th birthday today.
30. Mahomes, 30.
Mahomes is 30.
Is he going to win?
Which I mean, inevitably, ESPN and all the shows and all the Twitter accounts are going to just bombard you with stats about how much winning he did in his 20s compared to like the rest of the league in history.
Give me the line that he's going to win another Super Bowl. What's the line?
The line?
The money line that he wins another Super Bowl. How much of a favorite does it have to be?
Minus 200. Just a gut instant reaction, minus 200. How's that feel?
Bet board, 20 to make 10.
I don't want
to
bet Mahomes. I mean, bet Mahomes to win the Super Bowl and not even get a good payoff on it.
All right.
No, I don't want to.
We got
do
gaps
that bet
on our bet board. We need some
something
bets.
Good. We need something good on there. I don't want you want me to bet Patrick Mahomes to win the Super Bowl to fill in the gaps.
You win 10 bucks. Yeah. You put up 20, you win 10. I put
imagine
up 10.
Imagine like me sitting at some party in the AFC Championship game this
yes.
year. At the
I won
Super
10
Bowl.
Bucks.
Like, at least I won 10 bucks as the Bills lose for a fifth right. time.
Put up 200 then. You won 100 bucks.
But then I've got to pay you, well, I guess if the Bills
200.
Won, if the Bills doesn't. Have won the Super Bowl.
No,
well, no, wait. I got to wait till he retires.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. All right. I'll do a different bet. I'm not doing that one.
Trying to get a bet on the bet board. All right. Anyway, when we get back, we've got another scandal in sports. It's one of those.
It doesn't involve Tom Brady?
No. Well,
are you sure?
I can't rule it out.
Okay.
He's not mentioned. I don't know if the perpetrators drew inspiration from Brady.
Right.
This is a scandal in a sport you maybe didn't know existed, but we'll soon find out does, and the fallout appears to be hilarious. So we'll get to that, and of course, Bills Dolphins along the way. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.